together here today, Father, and all those that are viewing the live stream, Father, I thank you for them. And Heavenly Father, I pray that they will have ears to hear and a heart to receive your word here today. Open up their hearts, Father God, and just help them, Father God, to receive what you want to tell them today. Thank you, Father God, for your anointing upon me to minister your word. And Father, we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen with me.
Amen.
Amen. All right. We may do a little traveling this morning. So go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I want you to look at one verse here. And it's verse 12, which says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So this is the Apostle Paul under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, encouraging Timothy, and not just Timothy, but all of us as well, to fight the good fight of faith, amen, and to lay hold on eternal life, amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, I want you to flip back to the book of Galatians. Just go backwards to Galatians. Now, in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and I want you to look at verse 9. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let me read that again. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The King James Version says we shall reap if we don't faint, if we don't faint. So my message, my subject here this morning is don't faint, fight. Don't faint, fight. Or you can say it this way, don't lose heart, but fight. Now, I think everybody should know this, but when I say fight, we're not talking about fighting one another. We're not even talking about a physical fight in any way. Amen? We're told to fight spiritually. We're told to fight the good fight of faith. Don't lose heart. Don't be a quitter. Amen. Amen. I want you to write this down. Write this down. I must have a winner's attitude. Or you can say it this way, I must have the attitude of a winner. However you want to write it. You've heard me say this many, many times, that your attitude determines your altitude. Our attitude determines our altitude. Your attitude determines how high you go. Yes, it does. Praise the name of the Lord. So you have that?
Amen.
Amen. I must have a winner's attitude. Now, why should I take on a winner's attitude? Why should I think like a winner and not a loser? Don't you ever forget this. If you think like a loser, you're going to be a loser. Say that, let me say that again. If you think like a loser, you're going to be a loser. If you feel like you're a victim, then that's the type of life you live. Because it's all up here. And I know right now that I'm talking to some folks that either has dealt with that or is dealing with it right now. And you've been told by other people that you are a loser, that you'll never win, that's your lot in life, so deal with it. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to receive that. You hear me? You do not have to receive that. But until you change the way you think, you always live the life of a victim or the life of a loser, because that's the way you think. But now, in the book of Romans, turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And I want to read a little bit to you. Matter of fact, I'm going to move back up the chapter a little bit and read. Listen, how many of you know this Bible is for us?
Amen.
This Bible is for us. Amen. Now, Romans chapter 8, let's go to verse 31. We'll start reading there. What then shall we say to these things? What things? Things we deal with in life. Our challenges. Wicked people. Bad situations and circumstances. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then there's a question. Who can be against us? Is that in your Bible? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, Say, he was delivered up for me. How shall he not with him also do what? Freely give us all things. You're in your Bible now, right? Let me read 32 again, because I want you to get that in your spirit. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Glory to God. That's powerful, ain't it? Is it God who justifies? Of course not. He's the one that justified us. He's the one that rescued us. He's the one that delivered us. He's the one that saved us, healed us, set us free. God cannot be for us and against us at the same time. Either he's for us or he is against us. Either he loves us or he don't. Either he loves us or he hates us. And if he hated us, we are in big trouble. But I'm here to tell you, God does not hate you. Matter of fact, that's not even who he is. God hates sin. God hates evil. But he don't hate us. Are you with me? So the question is asked, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies, and that is a resounding no? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So it's not Jesus, he died for us. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, he came into the world to save the world. Hallelujah. So it's not Jesus. God is not against us. God is not against you. God is for you. And God wants to help you. See, where we get confused sometimes, and sometimes people say, yes, God loves us, God loves us, and he certainly does. His word declares that he loves us. But that doesn't mean just because he loves us that he agrees with everything we do. See, some people get that confused. Well, God loves me, and so I'm going to do this, and I'm going to live this way, I'm going to live that way. God understands. No. Not, God is not in agreement with sin. You hear me? God is not in agreement with sin. But what God will do is deliver us from anything that has us bound. I was watching a Christian program not too long ago, and some folks was giving their testimony of how God delivered them from pornography. God is a deliverer. I'm glad that those folks didn't say, well, you know, God understands. He knows how I am. No. He loves you, but he's not in agreement with what you're doing. And he wants to deliver you there. Because guess what? That sin is going to destroy your life. Is there another amen out here somewhere? So Jesus Christ is not against us. He's the one that died for us. so that we could be free. And so verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Let me ask you a question. Are you tribulating right now? The Lord still loves you. If you're going through a hard time right now, God still loves you. Are you distressed? God still loves you. He's still on your side. Are you being persecuted? God still loves you. Are you in famine, in lack? God still loves you. Or nakedness, God still loves you. Or pearl, or sword. It doesn't matter where you are right now. God still loves you. Now, verse 36 says, for as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. All day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Look at verse 37. Are you ready for this? Yet, in all these things, say all these things.
All these things.
Yet in all these things, we are what?
More than
say what?
More than
say I'm more than a conqueror.
I'm more than a conqueror.
Now that's a powerful statement. We are more. We're not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. But if we don't know this, or if we don't act upon what we know, we will continue to live a defeated life. I heard a person say, a preacher years and years and years and years ago, let you know, I guess I'm pretty old, I reckon. It's been a long time ago. I think I was in my 20s or early 30s. I think I was in my 20s when I heard this preacher say this. He said, it's what you know that makes you go. It's what you know that puts you over the top. It's what you know about God. It's what you know about yourself. One thing we must do is love ourselves. People that hate themselves or don't like themselves have a tendency to do destructive things to themselves. Maybe you're disappointed in yourself. Maybe you're disappointed in the decision that you made, or a life choice that you made, and you're disappointed in yourself. Stop. Stop right there. Love yourself. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. If God chose to love me, if Jesus chose to love me, who am I to choose otherwise? But Pastor, you just don't know how I am and how I have been. God knows. I don't have to know. God knows. And He still loves you. Jesus knows. He still loves you. And He wants to help you. You hear me? He wants to help you. See, most folk do not really understand how much God wants to be a part of our lives, how much God wants to be a part of every decision that we make in life. He wants to be included in the decisions, even decisions for your future. He wants to be included in those. As a matter of fact, he wants to be consulted. Every life choice you make, career decision you make, you need to include Jesus Christ in that. You need to pray about it. You need to talk to him about it. Because he knows all things. He knows all things. Please, whatever you do, include the Lord in every decision you make. But if you made bad decisions and you made bad life choices and now you're reaping the results of the decisions you made, the worst thing you can do now is start hating yourself, disliking yourself, hate the person you see in the mirror. When God says, I love you, and God says, I can fix this, I can fix this, I can make this right, if you turn it over to me and trust me with your life. God knows, listen to me, brothers and sisters, God knows how to bring us from the bottom and raise us up to the top. He knows how to do it. Amen. God knows how to do it. You've heard me say this, God is in our past. He's in our past, he's in our present, and he's in our future. And nothing gets by him. You hear me? Absolutely nothing. Every trap that the devil tries to set for you, God already knows about it. You hear me? God already knows about every trap that the devil tries to set for you. God already knows about it. We got to understand and we got to agree with God's word. He made me more than a conqueror right now where I am today. If I was to, and I'm not going to do this, but if I was to ask you today, how many of you feel like you're a conqueror? And if you'd be honest, there'd be probably a number of you that would not raise your hand. But aren't you glad we are not moved by feelings? We don't walk by how we feel. We don't walk by how we look. We don't walk by who was our daddy and who was our mama. And who our family members are. Every person has family members that they would rather not associate with. Am I right? Because of their lifestyle or whatever. But you know what? Just because they're a family member, that don't have anything to do with you. Just because they're a member of your family, they don't have a thing to do with you. Oh, did you hear what happened to the pastor's brother or the pastor's sister or the pastor's cousin? Can you believe that? It's the pastor's. They ain't got nothing to do with him. Ain't got a thing to do with him. He's responsible for his own life. He's responsible for his own behavior. You hear me? Excuse me. But sometimes people do crazy things and they know related to someone that loves God, that lives for God, and they'll make the association, and then that's the subject of conversation. And they won't be called by name, but it'll be the pastor's family member or the deacon's family member or whatever. But that don't have anything to do with them. Everybody make their own decisions. Amen. If anybody in this church go out and do something crazy, they ain't got a thing to do with me. I didn't do it. They did. Amen. So understand that you, according to the scriptures, have been made more than conquerors. There's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Verse 37, let me read it again. Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Say he loves me. Verse 38, for I am persuaded. See, again, this is another book written by the Apostle Paul. Folks, we got to get to the place to where we are persuaded and stop just bouncing back and forth, wondering, does God love me? Today he loves me, but tomorrow he don't, and basing God's love on what our circumstances are. No. The writer here says, as he wrote, as he was moved by the Holy Spirit, he says, I am persuaded. Say, I'm persuaded.
I'm persuaded.
He says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be what? Able to separate us from what? The love of God. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. How many of you believe that God loves Jesus? Yeah. God loves his son. Amen. He's always loved his son. But guess what? He loves us now. Listen to this. He loves us now, just as much as he loves his son. Because, you have to understand, in the book of Genesis, it says man was created in the image and in the likeness of God, right? In the image and the likeness of God. And when man fell, God chose, listen to this, God chose his only begotten son, who was God himself. Jesus is God the Son. So he chose his only begotten son. Think about it. Stay with me. God chose his only begotten son, who he loves so very much. And he says, son, I want you to go down to earth in the midst of the evil and the turmoil and the wickedness. I want you to go down there and set my people free. But in order to do that, you are going to have to take their sins yourself. You're going to have to die. I'm going to give you a body. And you are my beloved son, but I'm going to send you down there. I'm going to give you a body like they have. And you are going to have to suffer, son, for them. As wicked and as unappreciative as they are, I'm sending you there. Now think about this for a moment. Think about this for a moment. God knows everything, doesn't he? God knows everything. So God already knew before he sent Jesus that not everybody would believe on him. You still with me? God already knew that not everybody would believe him. He knew that already. But did that cause God to change his mind? No. Because guess what? God knew that James would believe on his son. He knew that James would give his life to his son. He knew that Catherine would give her life to his son. He knew that Pat, Ronnie, Daryl, Cora, Shalon, and all of you who are born again, he knew that we would give our lives, surrender our lives to his son. And let me tell you something. See, that's when Paul said, I am persuaded. And I am persuaded of this. Are you ready for this? I am persuaded of this. If everybody else on this earth chose to go to hell and reject Jesus, if I had been the only one that chose to believe on him, I am persuaded he'd have still came to earth, he'd have still suffered and died, even if only one. Y'all hear me? Even if it had been only one that would believe him, he'd have still come. I'm talking about love, folks. I'm talking about love. The love of God. And so God the Father said, I'm going to send your son into this wicked earth to suffer and to die to redeem my people, the ones who will believe on me. You hear me? The ones who will believe on me. See, that's the reason. See, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was praying, he asked the Father, he says, Father, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing it. Is there any other way to get this done? Because you have to understand, he was suffering. And he knew there was more suffering to come. The Bible says he sweat great drops of blood. So, Father, is there another way? But he remembered, listen to this. He remembered the love of the Father for himself. He remembered the love of the Father for us. And Jesus knew that if he didn't do this, we would be lost for all eternity. We would not have a chance. Jesus was our ticket to redemption. You hear me? Jesus, if I can use that terminology, Jesus was our ticket to redemption, to be set free. But what else did he say? He said, Father, nevertheless, not my will. Nevertheless, not my will. In other words, Jesus is saying, My will is, if there's another way, Father, let's do this another way. But you have to understand, Jesus was in our earthen body now, like you and I are, okay? He had taken on a body. He could feel pain, just like you and I can. And he said, nevertheless, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. And we know the rest of the story. Jesus went to the cross. He suffered. He died there on the cross. And every bit of it was all about love. How dare that old mean, rotten devil try to convince us not to love ourselves or to feel like God does not love us or listen to someone who tell us a lie that God don't love us. He loves us. And so, oh, glory, hallelujah. Y'all getting anything out of this? Now, let's go back to verse 38. I didn't finish. And I'll have to close out on this. I had some other things I want to tell you. But we'll get there. Not today, but we'll get there. This is what it said, Paul, the Apostle Paul said. For I am persuaded. Everybody say persuaded. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. I read it, I don't read it again. Nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Listen to me as I close this out. It does not matter what comes down the pipe, whether it's poverty, sickness, whatever it may be, rejection, whatever it may be. I'm here to tell you that that will never, ever separate you from the love of God. I hope you're listening to me. I hope you're listening to me. It's amazing how the devil try to use situations and circumstances, our lot in life, try to convince us that God doesn't love us. And as I bring this to a close, I want to say this to you. Listen to me. Please do not judge God's love for you based on how other Christians may act. Please do not base God's love for you on what other Christians may do. Or say, I'm here to tell you, God loves you. Amen. Now, remember, I said your attitude determines your altitude. Let's take on a different attitude, knowing that God loves me and he's going to help me. Now I am ready to walk this road. Amen. I'm ready to travel. Glory to God. Amen. And whatever bumps there are in the road, that's okay, because I know God's with me. I know God's got me. I know God is for me. Amen. I know that nothing can separate me from his love. So if the bump's in the road, that's okay. I'm going to get beyond this. And if there's another bump a little further down the road, that's all right. I'm trusting God. I'm going to get beyond that because I have been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I will not allow a bump in the road or anything else to rob me of what God has given me through Christ Jesus. To rob me of where God wants to take me in Christ Jesus. To rob me of what God wants to do through me. We've seen in the scripture where the Apostle Paul said, even in the book of Acts, where there were things that they were doing for God, places they wanted to go to preach the gospel. And Paul would say things like, Satan hindered us. But you notice, he hindered them, he didn't stop them. He hindered them, he didn't stop them. Because Paul said in his final words, I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. I'm now ready to be offered up. He said, I finished my course. God forbid, when Jesus comes back, we're sitting somewhere down the road behind a bump that we felt we could not get beyond. And Jesus is going to ask, why are you back there? Let's get this sealed on the inside of us. Look at somebody and say, don't let the bump stop you. You hear me? Don't let the bump stop you. You hear me tell you, God created all of us with a purpose. There's a purpose for us being here. And we got to be determined we're going to fulfill that purpose. Well, Pastor, I don't know what that purpose is. Well, first of all, you get the right attitude that I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to walk with God. That's first and foremost. I'm going to walk with God. That's the first decision we got to make. I'm going to walk with God, and I will not be deterred. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.